Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's go to Luke 15. I'm going to get to preaching, and I hope tonight I try to help you. And I be honest, I had different thoughts in my mind about in Philippians and different place to go, but I'm just going to preach a little bit of salvation. Is that all right? And I was thinking before, you know, we ought not get over salvation, have we? And that's something that ought to excite us. If we want to have revival, I even thought about preaching. Maybe I'll do that over in Ezekiel about remembering thy youth. You know, many times we forget what God does for us. We forget where we was when God found us. And I'll be honest with you, if we'll keep that in our mind, we'll stay pretty happy, won't we? We'll stay pretty on fire for the Lord. We'll stay revived. And maybe it's my old life. There are times if I let that slip out of memory of where I was. I mean, you know what? Let me say this. I saved as a little boy. I was about 19 years old when I got saved. But can I say, I know me enough to know what I would have been if God wouldn't have got a hold of me. And I'd have been in a bar room somewhere in some ditch, doped up out of my mind. And I just know who I am. But God got a hold of me. He saved me from a lot of stuff. And I thank the Lord for it. And if we'll keep that in our mind, we'll have revival. If you'll stand to your feet for the reverence of God's word, I know it's familiar text tonight. Man, I really do want to help you. Verse 11, the Bible says this. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him to feed the swine, and he would fain to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave to him. And I really want to take this thought right here in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have been enough to and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they said, father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. And God, I want to thank you and to ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, you've been so good to us. And I just want to thank you for all that you've done. I want to thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've got to pray. And God, the church. And Lord, all that you've ever done, Lord, for us. And God, I need your touch tonight. Lord, I honestly am scared. You know my mind, you know my heart, and I don't want to miss God. So I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, this little while. God, maybe you would, if there's someone here lost tonight, maybe you'd draw them to yourself, let them get saved by the good grace of God. And maybe there's a saint, God, that maybe they're going to creep back out toward that far country forgetting, God, what you've done for them, that you might remind them of the goodness of God in their lives. So, Father, we ask you to help us, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now let me say this before I get going. I do appreciate Southside coming out tonight. A good crowd over there, Brother Allen. He's more sitting over there than when he voted me in. Amen. And the Lord's been good. By way of introduction, in Luke 15, I know they broke down in three parables. I'm kind of the opinion that don't fall out with me. It's just one big parable. A parable of a lost sheep, parable of a lost corn, parable of a lost son. And it's a chapter of lost things. I lost the sheep, but thank God the sheep was found. Lost the corn, thank God the corn was found. But hey, there's a lost son. But thank God that son was found. I'll point out to you, it gets more precious. There's 100 sheep, and one was, there's 100 sheep there. There's 10 coins and only two sons. So as we go down the chapter, they get more and more precious. And can I say, nothing's more precious than a soul. Nothing's more precious than a life. And man, the Lord is tonight, is interested in our lives and our soul. And if you're lost this morning, this evening, you're in a good place to get saved. But by way of introduction, I won't go far. This, y'all know the story. This youngest son, around, looks at his daddy. He says, "Hey, daddy, I want everything that's supposed to be mine, and I'm getting out of here." And what daddy should have said was no. What daddy should have said was no. You ain't going. And can I say something just by paralytical thought, if I can, as a father, can I say, sometimes the best thing you can say to your youngins is no, amen? And man, just tell them no, stand on something. But he goes, he takes it, he's already gone in his mind, and he takes his inheritance, and he takes off into this world. And what you'll find out in verse 12, he asked for something that he never should have asked for. In verse 13, he had left, he looked at his father honestly. And when he asks for that inheritance, you know what he does? He's asking for him just to die. Get on off the scene. Get out of the way. And he wants to go on. You find that over in verse 15. He joins himself to a citizen of that country. He's wasted everything. And just like sin does, you know what they do? They'll partner up to bring you down. It's never going to raise you up, but bring you down. Then you find out, friend, in verse 16 that he feigned to eat what fell out pig's mouth. Now, can I say that's just a pig's a nasty animal? I mean, well, I'm Wilkes County boy too. Can I say something? Man, pigs is nasty. And here he is at a point in his life. He is so down and out, he'd just soon to eat what falls out of that pig's mouth. And man, listen, that's a picture of sin. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to interest you in verse 17. His life starts turning around in verse 17. Look what the Bible said. And when he came to himself. Man, here's a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit of God acting in somebody's life, bringing conviction to their heart, letting them see the mess they're in. But at the same time he sees the mess they're in, I want you to notice, he realizes there's somebody that can fix that mess. He's got a longing and an answer, not just I'm in sin. Listen, if God showed us tonight that we were just in sin and that's the only hope we had, there was nothing else, I mean, we'd still be in sin. But I like that amazing grace which said, grace taught my heart to sin, but grace my sins relieved. Can I say it's the same grace of God that will show a man the sin and will show a man the Savior and he can get saved. Amen. And this man's life starts turning around. Well, we know in John 16 and verse 7 we find out that the Spirit of God is going to be sent. We know in verse 8 it says this, when he has come he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now you think about this young man. He has walked out there. He is in the midst of sin. He's ruined his life. He's really got no hope. He's about to starve to death, and the Holy Ghost shows up just right on time and reproves him of the mess that he's in, convicts him of the sin that he's in, but points him to Calvary on a way out. Now listen, I want to preach on this thought this morning by the help of the Lord. Praise God he came to himself. Praise God that he came to himself. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm simply trying to say this. It was a real good day in your life when you realized the mess you was in and God the Holy Ghost come by your way and reached down there and flipped the light switch on, and no longer was it just sin and all, but it was your sin against the Holy God that was going to lead you to judgment in hell, and it become real into your heart. Boy, thank God today. I remember as just a little boy, when God showed me I was lost and messed up and I needed salvation, I didn't move the first time, Brother Robert. I didn't go the first time that the Lord come to me. Oh, but thank God he come back again and showed me again, and I got saved by the good grace of God. Now listen, at the time for a week, if you'll let me be honest, I lived in absolute torment. I just thought I was going to die any second and go to hell. I was just a 9-year-old boy. I'll be honest with you, preacher. I was too ignorant to know. I just fall down on the floor and get saved. I thought I had to be in church. I thought I had to have the preacher to get there. I didn't know no better. I remember laying in bed and just wondering, scared to death, if the rapture was going to take place and I was going to be left behind. And I remember promising God, if you just get me back to church, I'll get saved. Oh, can I say thank God for the day that the light turned on in my life. Hey, thank God for the day that the Lord Jesus Christ come by and said, boy, listen, you're lost without me. You're on your way to hell. Oh, but I got good news. If you'll put your faith in me, I'll give you everlasting life, friend. I mean, I just want to preach a little bit. Thank God. Thank God that he came to himself. And I say, thank God there was a day I come to myself. Thank God there was a day, Lord, helped me and showed me I was wrong. You say, preacher, why do you keep saying that? Because I'm going to tell you, I ain't never got over it. And every time I think about it, the better it gets. Every time, am I, we okay? I'm just going to preach a minute. All right. Listen, there's times in my life I ain't always done right, Brother Allen, and I have fell short and messed up. But I'm going to tell you what's always got me back home. It's that same Holy Ghost of God has come right by and flipped that switch, reminding me what He done into my soul and where I ought to be and where I am now. And boy, I ain't nothing. I know that. Oh, but thank God I've got a Father in heaven. I got hope for tomorrow. I got peace in my soul. I got all I ever need. Because there was a day the Holy Ghost of God had come by and turned the light on in my life. I won't preach again on a moment. Praise God. Praise God, He came to Himself. I want you to see, number one, He came to Himself acknowledging His famine. Excuse me, not His famine, acknowledging His fault. Look at verse 17. You know, verse 17, the Bible said, it came to Himself, and He said, how many hired servants my father had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, now notice this, I have sinned against heaven. He didn't say anything about his daddy, did he? He sinned against heaven. Oh, listen, I want you to understand, that's a part of that reproving of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to know that when he saw that, Brother James, he didn't look at it. All of a sudden, he didn't say, man, I really wronged Daddy, and I really wronged the preacher, and I really wronged Papa, I really wronged them. No, when the Spirit of God come by, hey, the Spirit of God worked in his heart that the sin in his life was against something a lot bigger than Daddy and a lot bigger than the preacher, but it was against the God of glory and the God of heaven and the only one that ever loved them enough and to do anything about the mess he was in. It's a good day when the light come on. And I say, listen, when you realize that your sin is just not against your daddy, that's a good day. I can be being a little boy, Brother Allen, I'll be honest with you, and I'm 39 years old, and if my dad tells me not to do something, I'm still not going to do it. We all right? Because he beat me back in, and I'm afraid he'll do it again. Amen. Listen, he's getting a little bit older, but he's feisty. And I think to myself, there's been times, listen to me, I've hurt his feelings. I've done things that I shouldn't do. And I'll be honest with you, Daddy wasn't ever one to say, put your nose in the corner and feel about it. He just beat you hind end, and then if you wanted to get in the corner, that was all right too. You hear me? I mean, he just wore me out. We didn't have that touchy-feely mess. He just touched me and I failed, amen? That's it. And I was a time that I knew this. I hurt my daddy's heart. And as I got older, I made some decisions. And can I say, friend, that look of disappointment. I don't know that I've ever been cut so deep sometimes that I look over at mom or daddy and that look of this disappointment where I've done something that I should not have done. But friend, listen, disappointing mom and daddy ain't the same. It ain't like disappointing him. It ain't like falling short of Him. Listen, can I say something? He's a righteous, holy God. And He's loved you more than anybody's ever loved you. Your mama loves you. Your daddy loves you. Your grandpa loves you. But I want you to tell you, God in heaven, friend, He loves you. He loves you so much He sent His only begotten Son. I mean, the greatest motivator in the world is the love of God toward a sinner. Hey, can I say this morning? When the light goes off that your sin is not against the preacher or your mama or your daddy, it's a good day when you realize you sinned against God. It's a good day. Can I say this evening, friend, he sinned against God of heaven. He acknowledged his fault. But let me just say this. He came to himself and he acknowledged his famine. Now here he is. He's got a sin problem. He saw that. Man, he's wasted everything. Now I want you to notice when he didn't go to that far country broke. I mean, he went by mom and daddy's house, picked up all of his inheritance, and he takes off with it. Now, please don't fall out with me. Dr. Ellis, he ain't Brother Ellis, is he, Brother Ellis? No, I'd have called you Brother Ellis. Harold, Brother Harold. Listen, I've put some people in prison, and I've been around that mess, but listen to me. I'd probably be there if it weren't for salvation. And I know that I've got some sin, I got some fault, but I also know that sin brought me real low before. And this boy left with a whole bunch of money, inheritance full, pockets full. I mean, he's probably walking, it's jingling as he walks. And as long as the lifestyle he was leading was, the money was there, he had friends, he had fun. I mean, he had all that he needed until it ain't no more. And can I tell you something? You're talking to somebody that I've sat across from literally thousands of people And I want to tell you something about them. When they get to the bottom and they realize everybody that they're trying to stand up for don't love them, they get heartbroken. I'm talking about gangbangers who thought, man, that they'll never turn on me just to watch their best friend, I mean blood in, blood out, until they go in 30 years and they'll rat on them. Half of my cases are made because people can't keep their mouth shut because they don't love who they say they love. That's the truth. Can I say something this evening? He had it all until he had nothing else to offer them people. And all of a sudden, he had wasted with righteous living. That means life and living without restraint. Whatever he wanted to do, he did it. He just took off. You know what he found out? There's nothing there for him. When you get to our text tonight in verse 17, look what he said, I perish with hunger. I mean, he had everything he wanted. And here he is, friend, about to die of hunger. That perish means to be taken out of existence, be taken care of. Look at here. Nothing. He's got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Can I say something? Without the Holy Ghost of God, he'd have stayed right there in that same position. He'd have never left the pig pen. He'd have never got out of the pig pen. He'd have wouldn't even known how big of a problem he was. Can I tell you something? Now listen, I ain't going to get into all this, but he grew up in daddy's house. He knew the Father's love. The Father provided everything for him. He turned his back on that. I'm going to tell you why. He was dead. Amen. He didn't get alive till he come back. That's when the Father said twice, he was dead and is alive again. He was spiritually dead, not understanding what the Father was doing for him. But what he did do, what he did learn is he got down there and lost it all. Can I say something? I know that might have been a hard time in your life when God took every allowed you to get everything gone out of your life. But brother, sometimes God puts you rock bottom. He can flip that light on. Can I say this is a good day in his life when he was perishing with hunger and he was looking over at that pig thinking, I'm going to eat some of that food because, brother, he didn't have nothing else. It was a good day when he realized that it wasn't just his fault, but he was absolutely starving to death. Because I want you to know the next thing that he says, he's got a father. Look at here. He acknowledges the father in verse 17. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I'll perish with hunger. See, the Holy Ghost of God has not just showed him his sin and his fault. He's not just showed him his famine. He ain't got nothing. But he points him back, now notice, to his father. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit right here, but I want you to see something here. The father had the bread. And listen, it was the bread that he desired, we think, but no way. You would think that's what he'd want. He's hungry. Now, Brother John, he's hungry. He ain't got no bread. He's starving to death. I mean, you think he'd want the bread. He'd want the food. Now, I've been hungry, and if you won't bring me a cheeseburger or something, I'm going to eat it. But see, the Holy Ghost of God don't work how we think you need to work. See, he's dealing with something bigger than his hunger. He's dealing with something deeper than his belly hurting a little bit right here. I want you to notice something. Look for me down here in verse 18. Now, he's about to die with hunger. It's what he says, I will arise and go to my father's house. Is that what your Bible says? No. Read that again. I will arise and go to where? My father. And I said this morning to church, but can I say this again? He didn't ask for the father's bread basket. He didn't ask to go to the back 40 where the cornfield was. He didn't ask to go to the meal store, buy him some stuff to make him a biscuit. He didn't ask none of that. What he had a desire in his heart was to get back to the Father. Can I say something to you this morning? It was a real good day in your life when you realized you didn't have nothing and you got past the idea that you wanted God just to give you bread or wanted God just to sustain a need or God to fix a problem you got in. It's a real good day in your life when the Holy Ghost of God, hey, flip that switch, Brother Heath, and what you realized you needed was not the bread, but you needed the bread of life. You needed the person, the relationship. You needed the Father. You need to go to talk to somebody that can fix your issue, that can fix your heart, that can fix what's going on. And the bread wasn't ever his problem. He had a heart problem when he left. See, the sin brought him down to have nothing. The Lord ain't, listen, you look through his miracles. He always deals with the spiritual need before he does the physical need. Always. Can I say something to you? Listen, friend. He left because he had a heart problem. He was dead. Spiritually dead. But friend, when he got all messed up and he lost it all, Holy Ghost come by and flipped the light on and said, you don't need the bread, you need the Father. And I say something to you this morning, praise God that He turned the light on. Praise God that He showed that one day. I'm going to say the same thing 12 times. I'm going to get the point home. But, brother, it was a good day in my life when I realized that what I need was my Father. Amen. I mean, what I needed was my daddy. I use it this morning. I'm going to use it again. Grant, get up here just a minute. Hey, run. Don't run. Walk fast, boy. Get you. Listen to me. This is a relationship issue. I said it this morning. I'm going to say it again. Look right here. I bought the shirt he's got on. I bought the breeches he's got on. I bought the belt. I bought the shoes he's wearing. The food that's in his belly right now, I bought that. Hear what I'm saying? Everything that he's got, I bought it. He's going to go play baseball stuff. I bought all that. I paid the fees. You hear what I'm saying? Everything the boy's got come because of my labor. He ain't got a job. But my relationship's what's taking care of what his need. Can I say something? When you realize today, and when the God will flip the switch in you, maybe you're here and you're saved as a jaybird, but there's just something missing. You hear me? There's just something ain't right. Hey, something that's gone and you don't know what's wrong. Here's the problem. You keep trying to come to God for Him to fix the problems. God's not interested in your problems. He's interested in you in a relationship. And if you'll get Him, the problems will get fixed. If you'll walk with Him, the problems will get taken care of. Hey, listen, you're going to have to get the light turned on. It ain't the problems He wants to mess with. He wants to deal with your heart, friend. Listen to me this morning, this evening, whatever time it is. That's a good day the Holy Ghost showed you that. Brother Allen, it was a time, listen, there'd been time after I'd been saved, brother, listen, I just wanted God to fix something. I did. I've prayed, I've come to church, I've done everything I thought I was supposed to do just so God would fix what I want Him to fix. And I was 1,000 miles away. I was out in a far country. Can I say something? I was spiritually drained. I know, preacher, don't confess this is your church, but I'll tell mine. There's been times I've been under the pulpit empty. Empty. I've just tried and tried. I went on and went on. And I'm going to tell you, friend, a problem would arise up and a problem would come up. And all I wanted to do was God to fix that problem. And all God wanted to do was me to come to Him. I mean, I wanted God to fix the issue and give me some life back. And all the way to get life is to get the life giver, friend. But can I say something? There's also been some days in my life that the Holy Ghost of God come by, brother. It's way done. He just flipped that switch back on. He said, boy, you're struggling, you're fighting, and you're sitting there, and you ain't, listen, you're empty. You're starving to death. Just come to me. You know what happened when I got to Him? It all got better. Can I say something to you? The problem didn't go away. I mean, we were still in a mess. The church still in a mess. The problem didn't go away. But thank God I had Him. And because I had Him, He was bigger than anything. He just takes over. He understands. Listen to me. When I got to Him, the problem was fixed. I got full. Same problem, I was full. Same issues, I was full. My joy was restored because I got to Him. Friend, it's a good day when the Holy Ghost flip that light on. Let you know what you need. Can I say this? He acknowledged Him of His Father. Let me give you this, and I'm going to be quiet right here. This man had a responsibility. The Holy Ghost shows him a responsibility. And I'm 10,000 miles from a Calvinist. We okay? Well, I hit that again. I'm 10,000 miles from a Calvinist. You hear me? Whosoever, that's real easy. For God so loved the world, not the elect world, not a special chosen world. God so loved the world. Is that right? I mean, listen, praise God, I'm against it. That's false doctrine straight out of hell. It's fatalism because they're too lazy to go soul winning and only want to be smarter than the Bible. I like what Brother Sammy said. I'm okay. I like what Brother Sammy said. You'll never be a Calvinist reading the Bible. You'll do that reading books. Somebody say amen. Hey, you read the Bible, friend, you'll realize that God died for the world. Limit atonement, my hind leg. There's enough blood on Calvary to save every man, boy, girl that's ever lived, ever will live, that's ever going to live. There's enough there, friend. And I'm going to tell you this. That man had to make a decision when he's in that pit. He made one. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father. Now just stop right there. He made a decision in his mind. He's going to do something. He made a decision in his mind. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to Father's house. But if he didn't get up,
he'd still be with that decision in the same pit he was in. Now, I tell you what I've saw Christians do over the years. I'm going to do better. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying more. I'm doing more. Hey, I'm going to get on fire, and yet never do it. When the Holy Ghost of God, listen to me, when he pricks your heart and that light bulb comes on, there's a choice that needs to be made. I'm going to be honest with you, friend. That's why it's preaching. Teaching will give you truth. Teaching will impart truth on what happened. Preaching ought to bring you by the Spirit of God to a decision to be made in your life. You ought to be sitting here this morning or this evening thinking this. If you're lost, you ought to be thinking, well, I ought to get saved. And you're going to have to come to a decision what you're going to do with that. Oh, but maybe you're here and you're saved and you just ain't right with God. You've walked away and the Spirit of God is trying to tell you, quit looking for things and come to the Father. You've got a decision to be made. And it's not good enough to make it here. It's got to be down in here. Let me tell you something about a belief that's in here. It doesn't affect what comes out here. And it, look here, it affects what this does. Are we okay? You know why Brother James is on fire right now wanting to see everybody get saved, and I like it. He's handing out tracts and doing. Do you know why, my brother? You know, this is deep. You know why he's doing that? Because he believes what the Bible says. And it had an effect on his actions. Can I say something to you? That's how salvation works. When you really believe it in faith, it'll change action. Look here, look what it said, verse 20. And he what? Arose. And he came to his father. Miss Tina, where are you at? Tanya, sorry, will you play? I'm gonna have Tina playing for a long. She can't even play piano. Praise God. Maybe she can. I don't know. It'd be a surprise to everybody. Now listen. Decision is going to have to get made in your heart. And you're going to have to decide to put your full faith and trust in what the Bible says you ought to do. And that's it. If you'll do that, God will handle the rest. I was at a church one time. I'll not call no names, but the deacon's arguing. We ought to get them to the altar and make them say a certain prayer and confess Jesus with their mouth, and then they'll be saved. And I thought to myself, just read the next verse. You know, how can they confess what they have not believed? Honey, belief happens before any confession. But true belief will bring forth a confession. And your heart will agree with what, your mouth will agree with what your heart believes. This morning, I want to ask you something. Do you really think you ought to go back to Daddy's house or go back to the Father? I'll know that because you know what you'll do? You'll go back. If you really believe it, you'll go back. But this man had a responsibility to do. When he came to himself, he had a responsibility to do something about it. The Lord turned the light on about his sin, turned the light on about him perishing. He turned the light on how to fix every bit of it. But friend, if he don't do anything about it, he's just going to stay right there. Now let me tell you something about revival. Can we talk about revival for a minute? I believe this boy's lost, got saved. Let's just pretend for a moment, can we? Take a little application here. He was in the Father's house. He lived in the Father. He knew the Father, but he was spiritually dead. His mind had wandered off. I never saw anywhere in there, preacher, where anybody brought news of the far country to him. But friend, he just mind's already out there. And before one foot took off, his heart and his mind was gone. I wonder how many Christians this morning, you're here in person, but your heart and your mind just really ain't here. I wonder how many is at the Father's house, yet there's no really relationship with the Father. I mean, you're here on a Sunday night, and that's to be commended. You're here. You're probably here tomorrow night. That's to be commended. Wednesday night. No, that's wonderful. But I wonder how many of us have got an actual relationship with that Father. We want revival, and God tells you what to do. You humble yourself and pray and seek the face of God. Amen. Chase after Him. He'll revive your heart. It's not hard. But you know why we don't do it? We don't make the choice to do it. It's just that simple. I don't, please don't take me the wrong way. And preacher, you set me down if you need to. But you know why our relationship with God suffers? It ain't God's fault. Because we don't choose to pour into it. We don't choose to chase Him. We don't choose for Him to get in our heart and revive us. This morning, don't you listen to me, and I'm going to close right here. The Lord's knocking on your door. It's your responsibility to answer it. And if there's something wrong between you and the Lord, and you want revival, and you're in that far country, it's your responsibility to come back to Him. I don't listen. Salvation's free. We agree on that? The peace of God's not. There's some things you have to do to have peace of God. If you're going to walk in Canaan land, if you're going to walk over Jordan and live in the victory, that's not free. There was still some fighting to go on when they crossed over Jordan. If you're going to have the peace of God in your life, you're going to have the joy in your life, you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to believe what the Lord says and come to Him. Matter of fact, John 15 said, abide in Him. That's where revival is going to take place. It's on your willingness. Now, maybe I'll preach this tomorrow a little bit of this. But Paul said he's pressing forward the mark. Now watch this. That's effort. That means he's leaving those things behind and watch. He's pressing. The whole context, he's like a soldier. I know we've done some training. We all get shoulder to shoulder. We put them little shields, and I hate them shields. We put them little shields together, and we'd all do this together. I hate that. I walked Watauga High School down that field 10 times. I was tired of that mess. But the point is this. You know why you done that? Because at a unit, they had to do some pressing forward. Pressing forward. Pressing forward. If you want revival in your heart, you have to get out of that far country. And it's not going to be easy. Devil's going to get a hold of you. He's going to fight you everywhere you turn. But you're going to have to press on and press forward. And friend, listen to me. If you'll get the healed, one more verse. Look at verse 24. Well, look at verse 17. He's living with that man out there in the far country. Look at verse 17. He's dying with hunger. Look at verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they. You know what that tells me? They began to be merry. So that son. It turned his life around when he come back to Father. Not the Father's house, to the Father. This evening, listen, here's the call. And the pastor's going to come. He's going to take over. This morning, if he's calling you home, if you'll come to him, you ain't got to live that miserable life with no hope and no joy. If you're lost, if you'll come to him, he will save you. But friend, if you're just a Christian that's way out in a far country and just absolute dead inside, you've not put no gas in the tank in months and you're just about to die, come on to him. But you've got to make the choice to come. He's done everything he can do. And you've got to come. Praise God when He turned the light on.